Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm stoked, dude.
Stoked for the interview?
Yes, I am stoked. I am really looking forward to this interview.
Yes. It's great to be able to get some good people for interview.
It gives us credibility.
Well, it's fun just to be able to chat with people that you that I want to chat with. It's an opportunity. That's the reason to have a podcast, is to talk to people that are famous.
Absolutely. I mean, I never thought I'd be talking to these kind of people before. I mean, exactly. Especially our guest coming up.
Yeah. I'm gonna call myself out. This is a generic interview pre-recording. We're going to knock it out, and then we'll jump right into our amazing interviews. Because we have two interviews back-to-back, and, you know, we gotta hustle to make this happen.
Yeah, because guess what? All those celebrity invites onto the show, they're actually happening now.
Yeah. Actually, I had one person hear the invite and was like, hey, I'll make it easy for you and I'll do the work. Can I come on your show? And I was like, yes!
Absolutely. And we're going
to be your invites are being heard. Well, I did share onto Facebook the episode and then they listened to it and were like, yep, can I come on the show? Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
And and when you're listening to this, please don't think that you screwed up and are listening to the same episode twice. We're just using this intro twice.
Yes, and then we will actually we will get rid of this pre-recorded interview after these two episodes. So let's jump into the pre-recorded intro so we could knock out these interviews.
Right. Yes. And keep in mind, our podcast comes to you from the good people over at jmbullion.com and survivalgearbags.com.
Yes. jmbullion.com, the best place online to get all of your gold and silver needs at the best prices with free shipping. Go to jmbullion.com, and they've got reminted crash silver. So there's a boat crash.
Really?
During World War II.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you mentioned
an episode. Yeah, so they have silver from that made into collector's edition coins.
Melted
so
down, reprinted into coins.
Head to survivalpunk.com and click their banner.
Right.
Next up, we've got survivalgearbags.com.
A great place to – you need a survival gear bag to keep all the money, all the coins that you bought off of jmbullion.com.
Actually, I keep usually at least 1 ounce of silver in my bug-out bag.
Well, you see there, you're knocking it out, two in one shot. Survivalgearbags.com, where you can go to buy really cool stuff and buy stuff to put that stuff in.
Yes. And make sure you go to survivalpunk.com and click on the banner. Survival Gear Bags actually is an affiliate link. So if you buy something from there, I get 3 nickels. And then last time I cashed out my money with Kelly, I bought the amazing 299-day book series up to, like, book 5.
Yes, which is really important on one of these interviews.
Yes. Only if you listen to the 299 Days podcast, episode 19, I think, then you'll hear that I use those books to review. And I was looking at the traffic. I send a massive amount of people to survivalgearbags.com. Thank you, guys. But no one's buying anything. So please support Kelly. He's a supporter of the Survival Punk podcast and blog. He's a Survival Punk Army sponsor, and you can get 10% off by joining the Survival Punk Army.
The Survival Punk Army wants you!
Yes. You can help support Survival Punk podcast, me and Mike, and the blog by considering joining the Survival Punk Army.
If you like us, it's only 20 cents an episode. That's what it works out to. Plus all the great deals you're going to get all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, you get 11. I counted up because I have more hustling. You get 11 discounts to different people on the internet. You get 2 ebooks. You can get all of the Survival Punk podcast episodes in zip files to download 10 episode blocks. So you can get right now episodes 1 through 10.
You're going
to
get exclusive content that you can't get on the regular website.
Right. When this first episode comes out, this first interview episode comes out, you'll be able to download 11 through 20. I'll bundle those up, and then me and Mike produce some exclusive some video footage you can't find elsewhere, tips and tricks and whatnot.
If you want that, there's only one place to get it, by joining the Survival Punk Army.
Yes,
at survivalpodcast.com.
And with that
survivalpunkpodcast.com, Jack Spearco is not going to help you on this one.
With that said, we're going to wrap up this opening intro.
Hello. All right. Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is his co-host, Mike.
Today we have the special honor of bringing Jimmy Moore from the Living La Vida Low Carb blog and two great new books, Keto Clarity and Cholesterol Clarity, onto the blog or onto the podcast. Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Just having a good morning, I guess.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's not. This isn't usual. We usually don't do this in the mornings. We usually do this after I get off work sometime.
A little more coffee and we're good to go. Put some butter in that coffee and you're good.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the whole concept of Living La Vida Low Carb is something that I should have been aware of a long time ago, seeing so I'm what they call on the show the couch potato survivalist.
We all need people like that in our lives, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty much James over here's project. If he could turn me thin, he can do anything. So.
Oh, I love you guys already.
All right. I just want to get right into it because he introduces me to all this stuff. Basically, the premise of our show, he's very knowledgeable in all things fitness, low carb, survival stuff. And I am not. So he pretty much explains stuff to me as we go along. So I guess our first question, let's just go right into who is Jimmy Moore? Can you tell us a bit about yourself, where you come from?
Sure, yeah. So who is Jimmy Moore in the context of why he's on your show today, I think is a good place to start. I used to weigh 410 pounds. I'm a 6'3" dude, but 410 is big on anybody. And that was back in 2003 when I weighed that much. And it was a very fateful book that I got for Christmas that year. Maybe you can relate to this. Have you ever gotten like diet books from family members for Christmas presents? Well, I did.
Only from James.
Yeah. Well, I did from my mother-in-law for about 4 or 5 years in a row. I got Dr. Phil's weight loss book 1 year, and I got, you know, Weight Watchers the next year. Well, she decided to get me Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution book in December of 2003, and I had never really tried a low-carb diet before, had really never read up too much on it because I was one of those people that believed it would clog your arteries and you can't eat that much fat and protein and it's just going to kill you and you got to have carbs for energy, yada, yada, all the things that we thought we knew about health that we now know are dead wrong. So I read that book and I thought, man, this guy is wackadoodle. He is out of his mind. There's no way you could possibly lose weight and be healthy eating this way. And yet I read the book and I said, well, I've never done this before. 410 pounds on 3 prescription medications, 5 XL shirts, 62-inch waist pants. I was a mess, you guys. And I needed to do something at the age of 32 back in 2004. More than ever before. So January 1st, 2004, I did what so many Americans do, New Year's resolution, and I started on the Atkins diet. And in the first month, I lost 30 pounds, and I went, whoa, this is kind of cool.
Sweet.
By month two, I was so energetic, I had to go to the gym. I'd never really been to the gym in my entire life before that, but I had so much energy, I had to release it somewhere. So month two, I continued the diet and exercised, and I lost another 40 pounds that month. By the end of 100 days, it was 100 pounds lost, and by the end of that year, it was 180 pounds gone. I was off of all 3 medications within, I think the last one I dropped was the statin, and that was the cholesterol-lowering medication. That was 9 months in, and so that's my story. And by the end of that year, I got an email from the Atkins people because they were like real interested that they had this huge success story because I was kind of writing a little bit here and there online. This is way before Facebook and Twitter and everything. I was kind of writing blog posts, not really a blog, but it was a totally different subject, kind of like what your show is here. It's not really diet related, but diet does come into it. So I was writing about my experiences, and they found some of those columns. They're like, hey, can we feature your story on our front of our website? I'm like, sure. So they throw it out there, and I start getting all these emails from around the world, all these people. How'd you do it? How'd you do it? Tell us more. Where's your blog? I'm like, what the heck is a blog? I didn't even know what a blog was in 2005. And so, I started writing the Living La Vida Low Carb blog in April of 2005.
Which I gotta say, I just love the name of that. That,
thank
just,
you.
That caught me right off guard.
Yeah,
first time I heard that, I had to giggle. I'm sorry.
did you go "Living La Vida Loca"? Oh, sorry.
Oh, you can't possibly hear it without doing that.
Yeah, that was.
I was doing it in the car on the way over here this morning.
So, and that got really popular very quick. I think in the first month I had 15,000 readers. Today it's almost 250,000 readers a month. But a year after starting the blog, this guy approaches me and he says, "Man, I love your blog. I think what you're doing is great. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast?" And I said, "What the heck is a podcast?"
Oh, everybody says, "What the heck is
a
podcast?"
Well, this was 2006. 2014, you better darn well know what a podcast is by now. But trust me. I know, buddy. I know. That's why I usually call the Living La Vida Low Carb Show like an online radio show. And they're like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what
that's
that is."
That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
It's an internet radio.
Internet
show.
Radio, yes. But, the guy said, "You should do podcasts. If you talk as well as you write, you really need your own show." And so he's like, "I'm putting together this kind of compilation podcast called the Health Hacks Podcast." And he's, "I want you to be one of the voices. Just do like a 5-minute rant." I'm like, "Well, I can rant, dude." So I started ranting, and about a month into it, he came back to me and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you got going on here, but nobody's listening to any of the rest of the show except your segment. They want you to have your own show." And I'm like, "But I don't know how to do this. I've never been a broadcaster before. I had a little bit of radio background, but it was music radio." And it's like, "Yeah, and that was Amy Grant. Now here's Michael W. Smith." I mean, that's pretty much all I did before. It wasn't kind of what I do now, interviewing people. But we started the Living La Vida Low Carb Show podcast in October of 2006, and I guess that's what I'm most known for now.
Oh, that's that is awesome. No,
I follow a sort of similar approach. I don't know, years ago, back in probably 2003 or 4, somewhere around there, I was pushing close to 300 pounds, which is too big for me.
Yep.
Just too big.
And frankly, I'm dragging 300 behind me at this point.
Yeah, so I'd heard of all this success from Atkins, and I was sort of opposed to it as well. I was like, I had my notions of what health was, and I was like, Atkins cannot be healthy.
How could you possibly get thin eating bacon?
Right.
Yeah.
So I picked up the book, and I was like, I'll give it 3 months. I'll do it for 3 months and see what happens. And I don't know the numbers for sure, but I probably lost 40 pounds in that 3 months or so.
It was psychotic. I mean,
yeah,
it's funny. In the earlier parts of our friendship, he was the fat one. I was the skinny one. I seem to have found all the weight he lost.
Yeah. So I did that for a year, and I got down to about 200 pounds, which on me, 200 pounds looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I fell off, and then I'll be asking you some questions later, like I read, I think it was a sample chapter of Keto Clarity in Dana Carpenter's Fat Fast cookbook, about 10 low-carb mistakes, and I'm going to ask you about those later.
Sure.
And that helped me fix some of the problems I had. So thanks for that.
Sure.
Big help.
Now, that actually brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about. What exactly is ketosis and ketogenics? These are terms I have not heard of until we actually talked about your book on stuff on a previous episode.
Yeah, so this is kind of the heart and soul of what I've been about in the last few years, because everybody's heard the term low carb, and low carb has kind of gotten out there, and people have their own interpretations of what that means. And while I think low carb is a good foundation for getting started, if you're truly trying to become a fat-burning machine and using fat for fuel and getting all the benefits that a low-carb diet is supposed to give you, you've got to be real sophisticated with it. And low-carb is just kind of one leg in that stool. There's like a three-legged stool of what it takes to get into ketosis. Now, you ask, what does that word mean? What does ketogenic mean? Basically, it's just shifting your body from being a sugar burner into one that is burning fat for fuel. Now, if you eat carbohydrates mainly as your diet, then you're going to be a sugar burner almost invariably. 99% of the world's population is probably sugar burning right now. Mm-hmm. But what you want to do is shift over to be a fat burner, and here's one of the reasons why. When you're a sugar burner, guess how much energy you have in your body calorically? How many calories worth of energy do you have in your body as a sugar burner? It's right around 2,000 calories. So what happens when you deplete all of those 2,000 calories worth of energy? You need to refuel. That's why when you're a sugar burner, you're hungry every 2 to 3, 4 hours, and you have to continually eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. So people do that all day, every day, and don't think twice about it. But think about this. Shift your body over to being a fat burner, and the way you do that is you lower the carbs first to your personal tolerance level. Mm-hmm. Then you have to also moderate down protein to your personal threshold level, and we can talk about that here in a minute. And then eat plenty of fat, lots of fat, to satiety. And when you do that, and over a period of, for some people it's as few as a few days, others it may take 4 to 6 weeks to get into that full fat burning mode. But when you shift over from being a sugar burner to a fat burner, you start producing ketones, and suddenly your body has, get this guys, how many calories worth of energy do you think you have as a fat burner compared to being a sugar burner, which I already told you is right around 2,000 calories? Want to guess?
Oh, I would say 100,000.
Oh, not quite that much, but it's 40,000 calories 40, worth. Now, if you have more body fat, maybe it is closer to 100,000.
That's what I was thinking. That it's gonna use all your stored body fat, right. And then on most people, that's a lot.
And look, quit looking at me when you say stuff. Like that.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but yeah. So that's kind of the crux of it. And this is just the fuel aspects. There's so many benefits to ketosis and why you would want to be there, which is one reason I wanted to write this book, Keto Clarity, is nobody's ever looked at this from a whole health perspective. We've seen ketogenic books like Atkins that talk about weight loss, and we've seen books about ketosis from the perspective of controlling epilepsy, which we have very strong evidence that it helps epileptic seizures. But there are so many more benefits, and I'll tell you guys, if I never lost a single pound eating a ketogenic diet, I would do it simply for the brain health benefits. You really have so much clarity, all pun intended, clarity of mind. Your mood is under control. Your brain thrives on ketone bodies. Did you know 25% of the fat in your body is actually in your brain? And your brain's just a very small part from a weight perspective of your entire body weight. But, man, all that fat, that's why they call us fatheads. We really are fatheads. We need that fat in our brain. And when you're feeding it very quality saturated and monounsaturated fats, you're producing ketones that keep you even keeled. You know, it breaks my heart every time I see about these school shootings and all these kind of things that happen where people get all manic. Well, guess what? That's a fat-deprived brain that is causing that.
I've talked to a lot of friends that do not need to lose weight about increasing their fat for sort of the mood enhancing, like not being depressed, just all that stuff. And then a couple of them that are really smart and spot on actually dug into it. So that's a huge benefit. Even if you don't need to lose weight, you know, who doesn't want a better mood?
And I'm going to be honest, everything you're saying right now is like hitting me a little bit too close to home.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, yeah, because frankly, I need a mood. Anybody who knows me knows I need a mood stabilizer.
Well, I can tell you, in 1999, I did virtually a no-fat diet. It was back when I was still kind of fat dieting and not really finding a lifestyle change that would work for me, and I cut out all fat. So I was sitting there having naturally fat-free marshmallows, Twizzlers and all this kind of low-fat crap, lean meats and all this stuff. And my wife will tell you, and I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy in general, but man, I think I was a turd ball that year because she did. Yeah. I mean, my mood was – I was so angry all the time, and I couldn't figure it out what was going on until all these years later that I realized – again, that importance of the fat and the diet. And I'm going to be writing a blog post about this soon, but I think we are a fat-deprived nation, fat phobia has so overtaken us so strongly that people have neglected to eat with real butter, use real cream. They're doing low fat this, low fat that. And the unintended consequences of that, you guys, has been increased irritability as a nation, you know, and just some of these personal issues that people have that they think they have a psychotic drug deficiency when in actuality they have a fat deficiency.
Yeah, I really kind of hate explaining the diet sometimes. Like, I was telling a coworker the other day about how for a couple of days I just didn't feel like eating eggs. Like, I love eggs, and I usually eat a couple dozen a week, but I just didn't feel like it that week. So I would just cook my normal, like, you know, three pieces of bacon every day, and I would put, like, a little pat of butter on every piece of bacon.
Oh, I love you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came over here this morning, and he had buttered bacon on his
head.
So.
And another coworker overheard me, and this lady is, I don't want to say massively obese, but fairly obese. And she's like, you must hate your heart. And I was like, nope, I love it. It's just like, you know, I'm not... Never take advice for someone that's not as successful as you, and I just wasn't going to listen to her on that one.
I just love the irony of our society. Like, back in the 1950s, everybody knew that a healthy breakfast consisted of bacon and eggs and toast with butter, and then all of a sudden, in the 80s and 90s, they're like, no, all that stuff will make you fat and kill you, and now it's flipping back.
Yeah, my mama was...
scientific reasons this time.
Yeah, my mama was the queen of low-fat dieting in the 1980s. She was a single mom. She had two very hungry growing boys and a little girl, and oh man, rice cakes were all over our house, and all this fat-free everything, skim milk. Meanwhile, juxtaposed with that, we had Cocoa Puffs and Ding Dongs and Ho-Hos and Doritos for us kids while Mama was trying to do the low-fat diet thing. And we kind of went wackadoodle starting in the 80s, didn't we?
That's the perfect storm right there.
Yeah, it amazes me how people tend to focus on what I think are the wrong things. So they're focused on getting no fat, and they're focused on getting like no salt in their food.
Right.
It's because fat makes you fat, and salt gives you high blood pressure.
Right. And they don't care about if they eat massive doses of sugar and carbs, all refined, all full of toxic gick. They don't care about that. And it blows my mind. I can't figure that out.
Toxic gick. How do you spell gick?
Yeah.
I love that, though. That's great.
Yeah.
But going right along with this and seeing how, like I said, every bit of this is hitting me like really close to home.
Good.
I got to ask, do you have like any tips for people like me and some of our heavier listeners, like how to get started down this change in diet and lifestyle? I mean, what would be a good way to get started, really?
No, good luck. Have fun. I'm just kidding. No tips for you at all. Just kidding. No, I think one of the things that we did in Keto Clarity that I think is going to help so many people get started, because nobody's really ever written a practical application of how to do this. And I'm a visual guy. I'm somebody that really likes to teach that way as well, to show people, hey, this is very, very easy to do.
I'm the same way, yeah.
Yeah, so I came up with this acronym for the term keto, K-E-T-O. So K is keep your carbs low. Now, low is going to vary from person to person. I personally have to stay right around 30 grams. I was a 400-plus-pound guy at one time in my life. That doesn't come without consequences. I often joke, I've already eaten all the carbs in my entire life I was allowed to have up to the age of 32. So the rest of my life, I have to keep them really minimal.
There you go.
So we show you in the book how to keep those carbs to your personal tolerance level. So that's the K in keto. Then the E is, as we were just talking about, eat more fat. And we're talking about real food-based saturated fats like butter, meat, cheese, those kinds of things. And even monounsaturated fats like avocados, olive oil, avocado oil, macadamia nut oil, those kind of things.
Mm.
That's going to keep you satisfied. Then the T in it is you got to test for ketones. And we can get more into that here in a minute as well. But testing ketones, you can't just assume if I cut my carbs, I'm in ketosis. No, this is very sophisticated, and there are tools that you can use to get there to test to see where you stand. And then the O in keto is overdoing protein is bad. So if you're sensitive to carbohydrates, you're also going to be pretty darn sensitive to an overabundance of protein, because people don't realize this, but there's this long G word called gluconeogenesis. Well, that's just a fancy schmancy word for if you eat a lot of protein, your body, your liver specifically, is going to produce glucose in the body. So it's not exactly the same as eating carbohydrates, but it's pretty darn close. It'll raise your blood sugar and it will definitely kill your ketones. So that's why moderating down to your personal threshold, the amount of protein that you need, is so vitally important. So KETO, we put a big acronym right there in the book so people can hang it up on the refrigerator, and you do all those things, that's a great way to get started.
Oh, awesome. I'm definitely going to, because I'm tired of my weight having a 3 in front of it, to be honest with you.
Can I be honest back to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't obsess about the weight, because one of the things that I've learned doing this now a decade is it's not really about the weight. The weight loss is cool and all, but the weight mm-hmm. loss is merely a side effect of healthy eating. Focus on getting the eating and the lifestyle, and we can talk about some of the lifestyle things apart from diet, but the eating and the lifestyle changes, dialing that all in and making yourself metabolically healthy first is mm-hmm. important, because then you'll have this nice little side effect. Oh, yeah, it's called weight loss.
You know, a while back, I was actually a part of this contest at work. Everybody at work got together, decided we were going to have a weight loss contest. And with the help of our survival punk James over here, he actually helped me, and I'm pretty sure he got some of these tips from you. He actually helped me to throw off like 60 pounds, and I wound up winning the contest.
Nice.
But I was obsessed about the weight, and as soon as the weigh-in stopped, I'm like, oh, thank God. And now here I am, dang near as heavy as I was back then. Of course, we were doing some pretty extreme stuff that I just couldn't hang with after that. But
yeah, like what?
Well, we
were doing some cold therapy to throw off a little extra calories.
The thermogenesis,
yeah. We were doing some of that. We were doing...
oh, my God. And I'll be honest, like the night before the weigh-in, I got in a tub of scalding hot water and dehydrated myself as much as possible.
We did some sort of like MMA fighter style like dehydration to like finish the prep. So, I mean, it was not... I wasn't coaching him to like have long-term success. He was like, James, this is a lot of money. I need to win this contest. Can you help me win? I was like, if you do everything I tell you to do, you will win this contest. And
yeah, he did. But I mean, the stuff I was doing was just so extreme that I just couldn't keep it up.
The diet was just standard ketogenic, and then there was like extra stuff on top of it to sweeten the pot, really.
Sure. Well, and for that purpose, I think, what you were doing was cool. But now that you've kind of seen the crash end of things, now do it the right way and do it over the long term. And, yeah, it'll be a little bit slower than that contest, but a lot of money's not up for grabs. You need to find something that will motivate you beyond that. I too, had back in 2004 when I was losing my weight that year, I was a part of a weight loss contest that year, which, by the way, I won. And after it was over, I found the same thing. I needed to find something that would motivate me. And of course, starting to blog about it and starting to put yourself out there publicly does a lot to motivate you.
Oh, yeah. It does. It does. And I actually got my motivation. I have two small kids, the oldest one of which is 10. I get so winded trying to do anything physical with them. And then my buddy James over here, he'll come over and play with my kids and just basically literally run rings around me.
Yep.
And that's just all the motivation I need right there. That's why I'm trying to throw myself into this mind frame of I've got to eat a healthier lifestyle. And just like I said, everything that you were saying, I mean, every one of those, were, I mean, it looked like it was just a projectile just aimed straight at my gut.
Well, I'm happy to help in any way that I can. I think James and I both have been there, so we know kind of what it feels like to be where you are. My only edification to you would be just pursue it with all your might. Don't feel like you've got to have the willpower, have the want power. And it sounds like right now you do have that want power.
I do. I honestly do. No.
I mean, I feel like once you start eating this way, I mean, I never feel deprived that I can't eat cake because I'm eating bacon with butter on.
Right.
It's better.
On his diet, I see him eat better than anybody else I know.
Right.
Better in terms
he
of more...
He eats more vegetables than a vegetarian.
In terms of more luxurious, too, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just better quality of food all around, so I just got to get... It's just so easy to not do it. That's my problem.
Right.
It's so easy to just stay where I'm
you
going.
You know what's
going to
help with that? Is it the carb cravings that get you?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So there's a tip in Keto Clarity we give when you have a carb craving. That's not your body screaming for you to have a ding-dong, a ho-ho, or a Dorito, or a Coca-Cola. You know what it's screaming for?
What's that?
Fat. And
really?
The next time that hits you, I want you to get you some cream cheese or some butter or something, some really good fat source that you really, really love. And the next time you get this intense craving for something carby, sugary, sweet, whatever, I want you to throw that fat in your mouth and swallow it, and within a few minutes, that craving is going to subside.
Now, that is one thing. I've almost made that change already. The amount of sweets that I eat has gone next to nothing.
Good.
I have been eating a lot more cheese lately, though, for
cheese
some reason.
Cheese is good.
That seems to be keeping me sated.
Just not the low-fat cheese.
Oh, no.
That's
not fit to eat.
I read that tip in Keto Clarity, a great book, and I like what Jimmy did, which is what I started doing, was he said he'd take a piece of full-fat cheese and just wrap it around a piece of butter and eat that,
yep.
And it's pretty tasty.
Oh, man, it's incredible.
Yeah. I might have to try it.
Yeah, which,
I might have to try that, definitely.
I did get Mike hooked on Kerrygold Irish butter, though, so.
I was living in a margarine world. Big tubs of, like, margarine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it
because
does
it was
not compare.
It was cheaper, and everybody told me it's healthier than butter.
I just got back from a family gathering. My wife has family, and so we travel there, and they're like, you want some butter? And so I'm like, sure, and they hand me, I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh my God.
I'm going, no thanks.
Yeah.
But see, that's the vernacular that we live in. We think butter is just anything kind of oily that we spread on bread or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as it looks close, it's okay.
Yeah, it's yellow and it's spread, so it must be butter.
I mean, it's got to get you thin. Look, Fabio's advertising for it.
Yeah. Whatever.
We're not going there.
All right. Now, what are some, like, low-carb mistakes that most people tend to make?
Oh,
like us veterans, like me, like, that think we have low-carb down pat, and we're overlooking things.
Yeah, I did so many mistakes when it's because you slip back a little bit, and you're kind of paying attention to the media hype about what low-carb is.
Mm-hmm,
well,
right.
Low-carb is a high-protein diet, so maybe subliminally you start eating more chicken breasts because you're like, hey, that's low-carb. There's no carbs in chicken breasts. But guess what?
Right.
Chicken breast is probably one of the worst meals you could possibly eat besides just all carbs. Why? Because you're consuming too much protein. And that was the big one for me. I started gaining back some weight, and I'm super-duper low-carb. And what the heck is going on? I found I was getting that gluconeogenesis happening with too much protein. So that's why moderating down the protein and titrating up or ramping up, the fat in your diet is so vitally important. And that was the biggie. I was consuming way too much protein, and at the same time, not consuming near enough saturated and monounsaturated fats. So that's two different ones. The fat thing, it's kind of interesting because we all know in this community, you know, it's a high-fat diet. We hear that. But I think maybe in the back of our minds, because we've heard this our whole lives, fat's going to clog your arteries, fat's going to make you fat, blah, blah, blah. All these kind of negative messages about fat, even those of us who know, maybe in the back of our minds, we still cut fat just a little bit, thinking that's a healthy thing. And there's a lot of people that start a low-carb diet that say, well, if low-carb is good, low-carb, low-fat must be nirvana. No, that would be the stupidest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Because you're taking away all the benefits that a low-carb, which by definition is not high in protein, it's high in fat, can
right,
give you.
Right. Okay. And now, Do you have any tips to get the fat up in like your favorite meals, stuff like that? How to add more fat
butter.
In? Because I know that that's got. I mean that. Yeah,
like when I realized
I wouldn't even know where to start on
butter.
That, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
yeah. I was gonna say I tended to my biggest mistake was I'm a proteinaholic. Yeah. I thought I had it, and I was like, I would eat like just a huge steak and call that, you know, my meal. Even though it did have, you know, all the fat left on it, like a big ribeye, yeah. It just still wasn't enough fat. So I started going looking, like I started looking at recipes for the Fat Fast from Atkins Fat Fast. Yeah. To include, like, say, one fat fast meal a day, because I'll be removing pretty much most protein from that meal and getting, like, a huge bump of, like, 90% fat. Like, for me, my favorite recipe was from Dana Carpenter's book. It was a coconut and grass-fed butter curry soup.
Yes.
With, like, heavy – it was just so – like, I would eat it, and I would just feel nutrients and nourishment, like, just filling my pores. So for me, that's my favorite, like, just sort of bump to get the fat up. I'll make coconut curry soup, and that's it. I love
yeah,
it.
And my-
yeah, you actually went through all this, that one, you almost ate nothing but fat, and you managed to lose a lot of weight on it.
Yeah.
During this time, I was actually renovating my house, and, one of my neighbors made this, like, big Thanksgiving-type meal for everybody that was helping us, just to help out, because they weren't physically able to. And they had this big ham there, and this ham had one big fatty side. And when I was going up to get more food, I said, "You want anything?" He's like, "Yeah, give me the fattiest piece of ham you can." So I go up there, and I'm turning this ham over, and I find the side that's just, like, all fat. And my neighbor's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just cutting this fat off." And he's like, "Oh, I'll throw that away." No, I'm taking it over here to this guy. He's like, "What?" I'm like, yeah, he's going to eat it. He's like, "Oh, he can't do that. He's asking for a heart attack."
Yeah.
And she sat there and watched him eat it, and she almost threw up. It was hilarious.
And see, that's the culture we live in now, you guys. And I'm trying to change that. That's one of the purposes of this book. I would so love to get on, like, the Dr. Oz show and say, "Meet the man who eats 80% of his diet as fat." You know, wouldn't that be like a real salacious episode?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be great.
He would make you out to be a nut.
Well,
ball, sure.
If Dr. Westman, my co-author, was there with me, maybe he'd treat me a little more respectful. But yeah, you're right. He probably would.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite meal that's pretty much pure fat, or just like tiny snack items like the cheese and the butter?
You know, I don't snack as much anymore. When you eat this way, that's one thing that you find is, you know, I eat maybe one to two meals a day typically when I'm in good ketosis. And so you don't get hungry. So, but the importance of that is, and this is one of the mistakes too we can talk about, when you only eat one or two meals a day, guess what? Those meals need to be pretty voluminous.
Right.
If you're not eating adequate amounts of calories, that's why you have to refeed yourself. You're either spiking your blood sugar and your insulin levels, causing you to be hungrier quicker because you're eating too many carbs on like a standard American sad diet. Or if you're eating low carb, you're not eating enough fat and or calories, and that starts producing some side effects that you don't want. So eat enough calories, and the big way you do that, and the big reason why people aren't eating enough calories is they're not eating enough fat. So I literally, and I'm kind of infamous for this at the paleo conferences and the low carb cruise, I put butter on everything I eat. I mean, it's like I carry around Kerrygold. I'm like, you know, I'm like in the middle of nowhere, and I pull out the Kerrygold, and people are like, "Where do you get the Kerrygold from?" I just carry it with me everywhere I go.
Oh my God, that was great. One time we were recording our show. He was over at my house. We usually record over there. And he was hungry, and he went looking in my fridge for anything. Yeah. He comes out, he's like, he comes out with my tub of Kerrygold butter and a spoon.
Yep.
And I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "This is the only thing in here I can eat."
Yeah.
Got some salami I could dip this in? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it sounds crazy, but when you're looking at getting into ketosis, that fat is so critical. You can get ketones by starving yourself. So let's be very clear about that. If you ate nothing at all, your body would survive because of ketosis. That's kind of a survival mechanism. So what we're doing with a low-carb, high-fat diet is kind of mimicking the effects of starvation without starving yourself. So you're getting all the benefits that would come from having those ketones without having to go without food. So that's what a very low-carb, moderated protein, very high-fat diet does for you, and it's why a ketogenic diet – And some of these mechanisms haven't been fully examined as to why it helps with, like, Alzheimer's disease, why it helps with cancer, why it helps with epilepsy. We don't really know the full mechanism as to why. We just know it works.
Yeah. On my blog, it is a survival-orientated blog, but I tried to combine all my passions, which are survival, paleo, nutrition, fitness, and stuff, because I'm sort of scatterbrained and I can't just pick one topic. So I really, for probably the past, like, I don't know, year or two, I've suggested that people should get on a low-carb, high-fat diet because, I mean, a lot of the people in the survival industry tend to take things too far, and then they talk about the collapse.
Yeah.
Well, if we were in a collapse or any sort of a disaster, like, you know, if you had a hurricane and, you know, things are crazy, if you're on a low-carb, high-fat diet, if you have to go out there and, you know, cut wood to get the street open where you can get out and all this other stuff, you're going to, A, need a bunch of energy, and, B, you may not be able to eat every 2 hours
right.
on the dot. You're snacked like normal.
That's right.
So for the hunger satiety, being able to go, you know, for – I've gone 12 hours and not thought about eating before because I was busy and doing stuff.
Yep.
I think that's a huge benefit in any sort of stressful situation, or just if you're busy, not having to eat every 2 hours is huge.
You want to know who's using this ketosis talk the most? It's the U.S. government right now. The Navy SEALs are actually being trained in a ketogenic state because of all these benefits
awesome.
That we've been talking about, and the satiety and the energy levels and the mental clarity. You want those guys need to be sharp. And
right.
having these ketones keep them that way. This is kind of a secret weapon. And a couple of my experts in the book, which we haven't talked about this, but 22 various experts have moment of clarity quotes throughout the book, in addition
yes.
to my co-author, Dr. Eric Westman, and myself. You know, and a couple of them actually mentioned this, that the Navy SEALs and some other members of our armed forces are using ketosis strategically. So this isn't some esoteric, whacked out, far, you know, out there in space kind of idea. This is actually being used in practice, and now it's time the rest of us mere mortals have a chance to understand it better and implement it for ourselves.
I think that the SEAL teams seem to be they're usually on, like, the cutting edge of technology. Like, they're smart, and they're out there doing what they can to eke out that extra, you know, 10% to be the perfect warrior.
Yep.
Whereas I read an article, I don't know, a couple months ago that just sort of disheartened me, where the Army, the United States Army, is developing a pizza MRE for our soldiers.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, my personal thoughts are that's just a terrible idea. You're ruining the nutrition and the performance of our warriors.
Yep.
And people fought back with, you know, well, they're out there fighting, risking their lives. They should really eat what they want.
Right.
Well, I see that, you know, for comfort food, but if that comfort food gets you killed, you know, because you're putting on weight and I've seen soldiers come out and they're metabolically broken from just the stress and the junk food that they're put through.
Yeah.
And I just don't want that to happen to people that are, you know, serving
and
us.
That, yeah, people, I was going to say, I go to my Walgreens and they have this thing at the front register as you're checking out. Would you like to donate a candy bar to the troops for only 49 cents more? And I'm going, no, because I care about my troops and I don't think they need that. But I've gotten the same thing. I've posted that on my Facebook wall and people are like, well, they're out there fighting for our country. You should just let them have whatever. And I want them to be at their sharpest, and that
right.
Snicker bar is not going to give them the sharpest mind. And yeah, it might give them comfort in the temporary, but I want them to be on their game.
Right. I mean, for their own health, like it,
right.
if they're performing better and have more mental clarity, they may not, you know, they'll perform better, and that may save their life, and that's what I want.
Right.
When my dad was in the Marines in Vietnam, the equivalent of the MREs they had back then, the C-rations, whatever you want to call them, they used to have cigarettes.
Yeah.
which just shows you right there where how far off the track.
Well, those used to be looked at as healthy as well.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they used to have advertisements.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube.
4 out of 5 surgeons recommend smoke camels.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube right now for some of the old television commercials back when they allowed cigarettes to be advertised on television, and they'll say, oh, yes, it gives you great satiety and comfort. And I'm going, wow, you know, and it's like that's the same thing that we see happening with saturated fats kind of coming back around again, that it used to be good and then they took it away and now it's coming back. It's amazing how these things ebb and flow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite one was Fred and Barney off the Flintstones advertising for Winston cigarettes. That was
oh my, I haven't seen that one.
I mean, they would air it in the middle of an episode of the Flintstones, because that show used to air at primetime. It wasn't a Saturday morning.
Right.
And they'd be sitting there talking about the cool and smooth sensation of a Winston cigarette.
You know what we need is we need Fred to say, I went and had this Brontosaurus burger, and it had lots of fat in it. I'm, you know, ketogenic. I'm living La Vida Low Carb, baby. You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
I appalled my co-host Mike the other day when so they found a fully intact woolly mammoth that they can extract DNA from, and they're trying to basically bring back the woolly mammoth by taking the DNA from that and, you know, impregnating an elephant.
Yeah, they said that within our lifetime we could actually see a live woolly mammoth.
Wow. Yes, to which I'm excited about eating woolly mammoth steak.
Although I don't know if I want to do it from a science experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, we're of two different minds on that. I want to bring back extinct animals to put in a zoo. He wants to bring them back to put in a restaurant.
Yes.
Can you imagine what they charge for a woolly mammoth burger?
Oh, he'd pay it.
$50
for a burger. I'd mortgage the house and I would get a woolly mammoth burger.
Yeah.
The title loan. Oh my God. Now, but speaking of weird things like that, what are your thoughts on like cheat days? I mean, almost every diet I know has some kind of a cheat day embedded in it. But what do you think of that?
So when I first started in 2004, I did what I called a planned splurge about every 6 to 8 weeks because I knew myself well enough to know if I'm going to be on something strict like a low carb diet, I'm going to need some kind of reprieve every once in a while. And so I figured, you know what, I could put my nose to the ground and really get it done for 6 to 8 weeks and then go enjoy one meal that's like whatever I wanted. So I did that in 2004. The first time was like a pizza joint. Another time I went to a donut place. I mean, I just kind of did that every 6 to 8 weeks. But something really cool happened. The longer I did this, the less I wanted to do it, because those things had become such an insignificant part of my life anymore that I didn't want to do it as much. So I'm a big fan of early on, you know, and it has to be 6 to 8 weeks, not this every weekend and the whole weekend. I know some people advocate for that. Tim Ferriss, you know, says, well, just eat really well, you know, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, just go hog wild on whatever you want. And I'm going, no. But keep in mind, when you do cheat, especially on a ketogenic diet, you will lose your ketones, and you will have to get back into ketosis again. Now, the cool thing is once you've done this a while, you get back in pretty quick. But when you first start, say, for example, you started today and you got ketosis going in a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, and then 5 weeks from now you have a cheat meal, it might take you another week, week and a half, 2 weeks to get back into ketosis after that one high-carb cheat meal. So is it worth it to you over time? I don't think so. So you kind of have to, you know, I'm a big fan of giving people wiggle room to make it work for them and make it a lifestyle change. But I think over time you'll discover you won't want those cheat meals.
Yeah, I actually heard advertised a while back for one diet that, I mean, it literally said, adhere to this diet on Monday. You can eat whatever you want on Tuesday, go back on the diet on Wednesday. I mean, literally every other day was a cheat day.
I don't think that's
– I heard about that once. I don't think I ever heard about it again. Yeah. So
there's a big diet in Europe called the 5-2 diet, and it's basically what I was just describing with Tim Ferriss, that 5 days you're on, 2 days you're off, and I'm going, your body never really gets into full fat-burning mode when you do that. Now, I'm sure people can lose weight, but it's not because of – the fat burning that would come from ketosis is probably from calorie restriction that's making that happen. And you can lose weight restricting calories. You're just freaking hungry all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you actually look kind of forced on your last couple of cheat days.
I was going to say, I've been doing low-carb, high-fat strict since October.
Nice.
And every month I've done a cheat day since October. And this last one, well, the one before last and this last one, I just really wasn't feeling it. Like the time before last, I just felt hammered afterwards. Mm-hmm. And this last time, last month in June, I had a few little things. Because normally I would go all out on my once a month cheat day. I would keep a list throughout the month and everything I wanted to eat. I would eat on that one day with no weight loss side effects, and then usually a day or two of recovery.
Yeah.
But this last time, it feels like the more I get adapted, the less I even want to cheat whatsoever. And now when I think about cheat foods, I'd rather just eat like a pound of pulled pork barbecue or something.
And that's the point, is you're eating foods that you like. That's the big contrast to all those low-fat diets. Damn you, low-fat diets over the years that I've done because those foods are so disgusting. You want a cheat day just to have some reprieve from that. But when you're able to have a steak with butter on top or nice green beans with lots of butter, eggs, real whole eggs with cheese and sour cream and an avocado and bacon on the side. I mean, why would you want to go to anything else? Those are pretty darn luxurious foods to eat.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his last cheat day, he was even trying to fatten up his cheat foods. I actually saw the man butter a Pop-Tart.
Did you microwave it?
I think I ate it cold.
Did you eat it cold? Oh, those things were good when they were microwaved, but actually they're pretty disgusting now, but
Spread Carrie's Gold butter on
Carrie's Gold. I love how he does Carrie's Gold.
I had to bring some class to the Pop-Tart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carrie Gold butter on a Pop-Tart, I think that's a first.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you, do you have any do you do like a steady workout routine or anything to complement the diet, or what would be like a good kind of a workout, exercise, whatever that would go along well with this sort of lifestyle?
Yeah, so kind of bucking conventional wisdom, which says go on the treadmill and walk like a mouse for an hour on the treadmill every day. I'm not a big fan of that anymore. There's like three different kinds of exercise that I think would be great. Number one, you can very much lift weights in a ketogenic state. In fact, when I did a one-year experiment of being in ketosis where I measured every single day for a whole year, I went to the gym every 3 to 4 days and did kind of a slow lifting workout. And I did it in a fully fasted state. I'd fasted for at least 18 to 20 hours before I did this workout. And I was fine. And I was able to actually build muscle and lose body fat doing that. I actually did a DEXA scan where I measured how much body fat and muscle I had before. Then I did this for a couple months, every three to four days, and then did it again 2 months later. And I gained pretty significant amount of muscle and lost pretty significant amount of body fat doing that. So that's one, weightlifting. And I don't think you need to do all the grunting and all that stuff that they do, you know, lifting fast. I think lifting a nice, steady, slow rate and doing that for about 15 to 20 minutes, full body, you get all the benefits that you need for your muscles. There's a great book called The Slow Burn Fitness Revolution from my friend Fred Hahn, if you want to check out more about that. So that's one. Another one I think that's really good that my friend Mark Sisson talks about from Mark's Daily Apple, Primal Blueprint, is sprints. So, you know, he lives on Malibu Beach, so he's able to, like, run up and down the beach all the time. I'm like, okay, I think I'd do it every day if I had the beach to run on. But I have a long street out in front of my house here, so, you know, sometimes you can go from stop sign to stop sign where you just run all out for, you know, 20, 30 seconds till you reach the other stop sign, and then you walk back and then go all out to the next stop sign for 25-30 seconds and then walk back, and you do that about 8-9 times, you're gonna be pretty darn winded, but that's a huge fat burning tool. And I know it sounds daunting for people that may have extra weight and go, are you kidding me, really, I'm gonna have to run that but
I'd get halfway to the stop sign, have to pull out my inhaler.
Pick a shorter distance.
So, but it's very effective, and if you can do it, and then you don't do that every day, you just do it like once or maybe twice a week, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then the third thing that I've become more and more a fan of, and again, thanks to Mark Sisson, is this whole idea of play being a part of your exercise. And I tell you what, my wife and I, we love to play. We've got this, my friend Tom Naughton of the Fathead movie, he taught us this game called Frisbee Golf. where you've got like this little hole with chains and you throw frisbees at it. So my wife and I, we have very benevolent neighbors. They let us throw frisbees over roofs. And so we get out there and we just play. We just have a good time running around chasing these frisbees and getting at the hole. And, you know, that gives us great exercise, but it doesn't feel like exercise. It's fun. And I think that's a real great stress reliever as well.
Yeah, we actually both carry frisbees in our cars at all times.
I do too, man. I got to go play with you guys someday.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I hadn't thrown a he brought his frisbee over to our house one day. We were going to grill out before a show. And I had not thrown a frisbee in, 15 years.
Yeah.
And he decided, you know, we were going to throw the frisbee. It's like he discovered, like, this idiot savant side of me that's good at one thing, and that's frisbee throwing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was watching my fat butt jump 3 feet in the air to grab a frisbee.
That's great.
So, yeah, I really love that you brought up play there. I mean, no one's going to stick to an exercise thing if they're not enjoying
that's
it.
That's right.
If it's just monotonous and just stupid, you're not going to do it. You're not going to stick with it. And just sort of the bringing play back into your life as adults has, like, so many good health benefits.
Well,
so I'm glad you brought that up.
And they've taken it away from our kids. I mean, the kids in schools don't have PE. We used to have this thing called PE for all you young folks out there. That's physical education. And, you know, I used to hate PE as a kid because I was the fat kid, but I was appreciative that at least it was something that allowed me to get all that energy out of me and, in hindsight, let all those carbs kind of burn out of me a little bit, too.
Right.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But before we move on workouts, I just wanted to say that so for what did it for me was I started doing CrossFit back in December.
Yep.
And I did a little research before I started going because I was doing low-carb, high-fat. For most of the things I read said that it would be impossible – that I could not CrossFit without eating significant amounts, say 100 to 150 carbohydrates per day.
Yep.
And I was doing it on probably less than 20 carbohydrates.
Wow.
Oh, he was killing himself.
I performed fairly well for like 2 months, maybe 3 months, and then I had like a little downturn. Mm-hmm. And now I'm performing well again. I added a few carbs back in, not many.
Yeah.
Like I would eat some sweet potato after the workout. Nothing crazy. I wasn't eating, like, you know, corn dogs and ho-hos.
And you kept your ketones probably when you did that.
Yeah, I butter. For a while, I was doing some MCT oil.
Yep.
To get a little extra in there.
I think that's great.
For that.
Yeah, for an athlete, I think all bets are off. You don't necessarily have to restrict carbohydrates or protein. And I'll tell you, the workout days that I did during my experiment, I didn't necessarily bump up the carbs, but I bumped up the protein probably about 20% on those days, which gave me a bit of a carb effect with the gluconeogenesis that was happening. So you can still keep ketosis even on those workout days with a little extra carb and or protein.
Yeah, this is one of the questions that, like, I really wanted to dig into you about when I got you on the show.
Yep.
That increasing protein, I really didn't even think about that for the gluconeogenesis bump. I thought about increasing fat to see if that was what, you know, because it's sort of glycogen depleting.
Yep.
The CrossFit. If it was just the weights or just the cardio, I think I could do it. But when it's combined like that, the other day I went on just a pure big fat breakfast and I got PRs. I got a 185 front squat,
nice.
Which amazing. You know, December I could not do like 100. I think.
Wow.
So. Good stuff.
That is good, man.
All right. Oh, we got one. We got two last questions for you, then we'll let you get back to it.
Sure.
This one you mentioned earlier, and I thought I would just quiz you on it. What are some of the lifestyle changes you've done to complement the low-carb, high-fat ketosis lifestyle?
You know, what I found when I got into doing this was there were several issues I was dealing with before I was having trouble sleeping. I was having some hunger and some issues not really feeling satisfied with my meals. But what really kind of shocked me was when I started really getting keto and measuring for ketosis, which there's kind of three major ways you can measure for ketosis. We'll get into that in a second because you asked another question right now. But what I found was my sleep suddenly got better. Now, some people report when they start a very low-carb diet that their sleep can be hindered. I'm thinking they're not eating enough fat in that realm, and their body's kind of fighting them a little bit. So bump up the fat, and a nice sleep aid that can help with that if you're kind of struggling early on. Get a little liquid melatonin and squirt it on your tongue right like an hour before bedtime, and you'll sleep like a baby. And that really has been huge. And I know the additional sleep and getting the circadian rhythms back on track again also can help with weight as well. So getting that sleep under control was great. But here's the biggest surprise I had when I started ketosis really in earnest and really focusing on it. I was able to spontaneously start intermittent fasting. We do a whole chapter just on fasting in Keto Clarity because people hear the F word and they think of the other F word because yeah. because it really is. And I used to think the other F word about fasting because I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world. Why would you deprive your body of food? Why would you allow yourself to go hungry? But that's not what this is about. When you're allowing your body to be fed high-fat diet, moderated in protein to your threshold, and limited to the amount of carbs that you can tolerate, something pretty amazing happens. You feel satisfied, energetic, and you have so much satiety that will last upwards of 12 to 24 hours. And we include 3 weeks worth of meal plans in Keto Clarity. And the very third week, I say, okay, guys, it's time to go hardcore. I'm giving you one meal a day because I want you to see how powerful this ketosis can be. Now, obviously, you need to be in ketosis to try the one meal a day, but your body, you can do just fine. I think we've kind of grown up this breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, snack, midnight snack. We just feel like we have to eat and graze all day long. In fact, dietitians brag about, oh, you should just constantly be eating every couple of hours. Why are you doing that? You're not allowing your blood sugar to remain calm. You're not allowing ketones to build up and give you the benefits that they could give you. Those periods of fasting, again, spontaneously happen because you're so satisfied, are what help you sustain this and, ironically, increase your amount of ketones so that you still continue those benefits days, weeks, months, years on end.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I've not done a real fast like you have, but I have done a couple of weeks of fat fast before.
Yeah.
And I remember going into it the first time, I was like, this is not going to work. You cannot eat 1,000 calories. I think one block of cream cheese per day or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's impossible. You can't do it. And I remember after a couple of days going, I'm not even hungry. It's amazing. And then, you know, like, the energy, like I had crazy energy.
Yep.
So yeah, burning ketones is energy like you can't believe.
Can I ask you a question as to why you haven't been able to do a longer fast than, would you say 12 hours was the longest?
Oh no, I've just done 12 hours without thinking about it. I've not, I guess I just really haven't tried to go longer. I haven't thought about
it. You know
what
it is? You probably in your back of your mind, this goes back to the cultural thing. It's meal time, so it's time to eat rather than – so you're eating by the clock, and we address this in the book really hard too, is stop eating by the darn clock and start eating to your satiety levels. And if you're not hungry just because it's 6 o'clock at night, and sometimes we get that kind of faux hunger because we know it's, quote, that time of day, I'm off of work, and I'm – you know, and the family's eating, so, oh, I must eat too when I'm not really hungry. Suppress that and try to go to the next meal. I mean, obviously, don't suppress hunger. If you're hungry,
right,
eat.
Right.
But I bet more people eat out of habit and out of it's the time of day than out of true hunger.
Oh, yeah. Growing up in a house with my kind of mother, if you ever tried anything, I'm not hungry. That's not an excuse. It's not an eat.
Oh, I just got it in Christine's family, my wife Christine, when we were there. You know, they're like, well, why aren't you eating? I'm like, well, I'm not hungry. Well, that's not possible. I'm like, how the heck would you know if I'm hungry or not?
there's so many stigmas over, like, eating in our culture.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's ingrained in our heads. It's been propagandized since we were old enough to understand what a commercial was.
Yeah.
I think one of my things that I kind of love and hate is I work at a retail job, and every Christmas, all the old ladies bring in, like, baked goods for us. And I'm like, I just say thank you and take it, yeah, and then walk, give it to somebody else. I'm like, hey, you want these cookies? Why, yes. Well, here you go.
Because it's an insult if you don't take it.
Right, right. So I just give them to someone that does want to eat cookies.
Oh, and you're too good to eat my cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of grandmas, that's how they share love. And so if you're not eating, oh, you don't love me. And it's like, no, I love myself. I don't want to put that crap in my mouth.
Yeah. Mm. Grandma, give me bacon instead.
There you go.
It's like my great aunt, God rest her soul. She used to be, if you wanted seconds, well, it didn't matter if you want second. You were getting seconds. It was like, if you wanted a full plate, you'd ask for a little bit. Yeah. She'd give you a full plate. If you only wanted a little, you'd like, no, I'm full. And if you absolutely didn't want anything, you'd have to kill her.
So for Christmas time, you should suggest, you know, I'll take like a home delivery of steaks, bacon of the month club, anything like that. Yeah, cool.
Bacon of the month sounds amazing.
Does that exist?
With butter on top, of course.
Yeah, I'm going to look that.
Carrie's gold.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up. Do you got anything? You got any upcoming projects? We know Keto Clarity is coming out soon. Great book, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've been tearing through it, and I just to give you a little bit of praise, real quick. I hate learning from anybody that does not have a sense of humor. If Ben Stein was trying to teach me the secret to the universe, I'm done. I can't.
You don't think Ben Stein's funny? Just kidding.
But yeah, the your humor definitely comes through in your writing.
Cool.
And I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Otherwise, I it's a page turner because I'm laughing every, you know, two paragraphs.
Cool. And I got to do the audiobook too. When I did Cholesterol Clarity last year, people are like, where's the audiobook? And you've got to read it. I'm going, what? I don't know how to do audiobooks. And like, you do a podcast. I'm like, it's a lot different doing a podcast versus reading from a book and not sounding like you're boring.
Reading.
So I actually put a little personality into it too. So that's coming out as well on Audible audiobook as well as Kindle ebook on August 5th with the hardback. But you asked what projects are coming up. I actually have a pretty full schedule kind of promoting this book and doing some book signings. The book's actually going to be in some limited Costco stores, which I was really stoked about. It's going to be in all the Barnes & Noble stores. And we're actually going to get to go back to Australia for a three-week speaking tour in November. So that's coming up. Going to do New Zealand on the way to Australia. South Africa next year in February. So lots of world travels with the Keto Clarity World Tour. But I haven't announced this anywhere, so let's give you a scoop on something I am working on. It's not finalized yet, but I am going to be doing a ketogenic recipe book with a pretty major name in the world of ketogenic diet. So stay tuned for that one.
Oh, awesome. My God, a Survival Punk podcast exclusive.
There you go.
We've never had these before.
Speaking of book signings, are you going to be coming anywhere to the Nashville, Tennessee area or so?
You know, I was just in that area. My bud Tom Naughton actually lives in Franklin, and I was just there like a few weeks ago. but the book wasn't out yet. That's definitely one that's on my radar screen. I know the book will be in Barnes & Noble there. You guys set up an event for Nashville? I'll be there, man. But we're actually working on one. I believe I've got a lady working on one for the month of October. So I'd love to meet you guys. We got to invite you over to Tom's house, and we'll all play frisbee golf together on his course in Franklin.
Excellent. I have actually seen Fathead, and I have not seen Super Size Me.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Fathead. It was he researched it well.
Yep.
It was just super legit. Whereas like it just seems like Super Size Me was like just opinion, just like I feel this, and it was like it was fake and wrong.
Yeah, they have not been able to duplicate his results.
Exactly. And Tom did that in Fathead. He was like, well, this is what he said, and this is what it would actually be. It was like,
So, you know what's really you know what's really hilarious about Super Size Me is the girlfriend, Morgan Spurlock's girlfriend, was a vegan vegetarian in the film.
Right.
She has since turned paleo.
Ha! Good for her.
Yep. So she's really out there, kind of saying, you know what, I was a dope in that movie. I mean, they made a lot of money off that movie, and I wish Tom made the same amount of money for Fathead because he really did a great job, as you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, unfortunately, we got to wrap this up. But Jimmy, it was nice to meet you. It's been really great talking to you.
Hey, same guys. You got a great podcast. I'm always happy to see people podcasting and sharing good information out there. I mean, I have almost 900 episodes of the Living La Vida Low Carb Show, and I know how hard it is to do this and keep up the great work. Just keep spreading the news, and we'll all survive in the end.
Now, where can our listeners find the Living La Vida Low Carb Show?
So I have kind of a hub for all of my stuff, the blog, the podcast. I actually have three podcasts. My forum, all my books, everything at livinglavidalowcarb.com. And if that's too much to remember, just Google Jimmy Moore, and I think I'm the whole first page.
Oh, right. Yeah, you do. Yeah, we Googled you last night. So,
and I'll have links to all that good stuff, Keto Clarity, all that. And then we're actually going to bank this and release it. Normally we do podcasts every Wednesday, but we'll make sure we drop this the week of the release. So
appreciate that.
Let's see. It comes out the 4th or the 5th. When is it?
Yeah, August 5th.
August 5th. So we'll do that's it. A Tuesday. We'll just drop it out that morning at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, the release day.
You are the man.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, guys.
You have a great time, and you're welcome back anytime.
I am seriously coming back. Oh, back on your podcast again. But I am seriously coming to Nashville in October, so
we're gonna have to get together.
Yeah, I would love that. You guys definitely have to come on Tom's farm. He's got an 18-hole frisbee golf course, man. That would be fun to play with you guys at least one round.
I've not played frisbee golf, but it's definitely on my
list. If you can throw a frisbee, you can play frisbee golf. I promise you.
Awesome.
Just in case, I'm going to save a vacation day for them. I've still got a week of vacation left for this year.
Hey.
I can't pass that up.
Yeah, we played, how many rounds, Christine, did we play? 26, something like that, rounds of 18 holes. Thankfully, my arm held up. Last year, my elbow, I got like tennis elbow halfway through, and I went, ah, crap, I can't even throw a darn frisbee. This year, I got a side stitch on the left side. I was throwing so hard that I side stitched, and so I was a little hammied the last 10 games, but...
Nice.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. Just zip me the link when it's up, and we'll promote it to Kingdom Come.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jimmy. Bye.
Have a great one.
Take care.